Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Welcome to episode number 517 of the program. We very much appreciate you calling in. We're going to just jump right in to our, I just ate some dried mangoes, and immediately when I start talking, I get indigestion. We're just going to jump right in. It's our old young guy bracket, and everyone was loving it so much last week. We got to move on to the next round. I am joined, as always, by the great Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Doing well. Yeah. I have a question for you and our guest. Okay. Let's introduce him.
Okay. We also have back by popular demand, although many people have reached out and to throw their hat in the ring to be considered for this tournament. We just thought for continuity's sake and just because he's so beloved.
We go for the best.
Beloved by the audience. That's correct. He's a tough get. We're joined by the great Jason Stewart once again. Jason, how are you?
Hello, everybody.
Hello there. Okay.
I have a question for the two of you. Yep. So I know there's like Diddy stuff in the news, but the problem is like I don't pay attention to everything. And I saw like Homeland Security raiding Diddy. And then I see like, and I go to Twitter. I'm like, oh, what is it? And people are like, oh, you know that Diddy. And the problem is like, I don't pay attention to everything so closely. Yeah. And it's weird when there's a trend going on and you're like, wait, what's the trend? And everybody's like, oh, I know that joke. And I don't know. He's human trafficking.
Yes. Probably. What? Yes.
For
probably.
What? Why?
Yes. I don't know. Here's what I do know. And I know this from listening to podcasts where people talked about reading the court filings, but here's what I do know. And again, it's not that much. In his house, Diddy has, everything's wired for cameras.
And everything's white, cameras, right?
And everything's white. And all of, and this sounds kind of cool if I'm being honest, all of his staff are required to carry fanny packs with every kind of drug known to man so that he's not too far from any drugs at any time, which is great.
Well, he's a good producer, so that makes sense.
That's right. You gotta have that. But what is alleged is that, well, first there's a few things alleged. Part of what's alleged is that he's drugged and R-worded a great number of people, women. But also, hold on, this is the one you're gonna like. What he does is, Jason, you remember Dr. Boudreaux?
Yep.
Tell us about Dr. Boudreaux, because this is a good setup.
Let's see. Dr. Boudreaux there was something about compromising pictures.
Yes.
Like he would take pictures of you sleeping, but with a hard penis.
No, next that's, to your you're face. Ruining it. Hold on. I got you. Let me do Dr. Boudreaux. Good try.
Yeah. You would basically have something against powerful people if anything ever came up.
There was a rumor of a guy that would drug athletes and then take pictures of them in compromising positions and then blackmail them to become their agent or their, you know, to get money out of them. What is alleged is that Diddy would drug dudes and then get them to do gay stuff with him. And then it was all recorded because everything's recorded in his house. And that's how he was able to make so many deals. That's like how he would control all these young artists. So that's alleged in a lawsuit. I don't know. And so from that, whatever happened today, I didn't read up on what happened today, but I assume that's an extension of whatever's going on with that. And there's famous people that are, you know,
Sure.
This could have happened.
Got to think Mace is part of that. That was his prodigy.
Yes. And Meek Mill was very forcefully denying all this on Twitter. So, and so people see that. So that's what I know. That's the extent of my knowledge of Diddy. It could be a Dr. Boudreaux situation. Plus, I mean, it sounds like he's like kind of like one of these drunk with power types, like they all are. And
he seems the type.
Yeah. And there's rumors. And look, I don't want to get into conspiracy. I'm not studied up on this. I'm not pretending that I know anything. But here is one thing that I do know. His head of security, who it's in the lawsuit, it's documented, who he's told people, if you're ever in trouble, call this guy, and he has connections with the police and the feds, and he will come and he will sort things out for you. His head of security was also the first person on scene when Conrad Murray murdered mm-hmm. Michael Jackson.
Oh, so actual police, not Gordon Sumner.
No, neither. He's
not connection.
He's a private security guy.
Okay.
That's connected to the police, not Stuart Copeland. So I don't, that's as much as I know. People listening, you probably know more than we do. I'm interested to know more, but that's as far as I've gotten with it. I hope that helps.
That helps. I was saying to Jay Stu, do you ever have that situation where like there's something trending and you're like, I don't know any everything. Of this.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. It's because we're...
It happens to me like once a week.
Yeah, it's because some of us are in our 40s. Others are older than that, you know? It's like we're just...
We're, some of us are in Ethel Mertz's age group.
That's right. That's right.
Others are a decade older than it.
That's right.
Ethel Mertz.
That's right. Okay, speaking of that, should we jump back into the tournament?
Let's do it.
Okay, round two. Now, Jason, because it took a few matchups to get this last time, just a reminder, we're selecting who we think is the older-looking person for the actual age they were at the time.
We're judging them on.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Cool, okay.
Also, the big takeaway was Jason kept calling Ethel Mertz hot.
Yeah. Oh, did he use the actual H word?
I usually don't listen to our podcast, but I was on a long bike ride today and like the podcast I listened to, it just popped up and I listened to it. And my God, how delightful was Jason Stewart and both of us?
He's the best.
But he was so good. But he brought up her hotness like three times.
It was a lot. Look, I know some people who will remain nameless who are in agreement with Jason Stewart on the hotness of Ethel Mertz, which is just, it's just a wild opinion.
Pleasant looking for a woman in her 60s.
Yes, exactly. That's what I know.
Hot is a different term.
Well, no. Oh. I think hot is relative.
Relatively like, hot.
My entire opinion when I say that Ethel is hot is a juxtaposition between her and her husband. Like, she's so hot compared to Fred Mertz.
Mm-hmm. He keeps going with the hot.
Yeah.
Much hotter. Much hotter than Fred Mertz.
He was on his deathbed, though. Like, that's anybody would be hot to that would be married to Fred.
He looked like one of those stress dolls that you squeeze and the eyeballs pop out.
Yes. He does. That's a good description. Absolutely. Okay, right, jump back in.
Let's pick it up with the second round of the women's bracket.
Let's do it.
We had Angela Lansbury, the one seed, who advanced against the eight seed. All right, so Angela Lansbury, 36 in Blue Hawaii as Elvis's mom, or 59 in Murder, She Wrote.
Yep.
Versus 34-year-old Rhea Perlman as the eight seed.
That's tough. Well, I'll go first. That's tough because Angela Lansbury played Elvis's mother despite being, I mean, in her middle 30s, and Elvis was an adult. That's crazy. But Rhea Perlman's more recent? Ah, this is so tough. I'm going to go Angela Lansbury. Jason?
Rhea Perlman was just in Barbie.
Was she?
And she's 76 years old. I thought she was 76 years old on Cheers.
Yeah.
So that's my vote. I need to go Rhea Perlman.
Yeah.
So I hear you, Jason.
It's a tough call.
But if you take away Blue Hawaii, because only weirdos like me have seen that movie in this day and age, Murder, She Wrote. You remember when we were watching CBS, like the NFC games in the 80s, and they do that TikTok 60 minutes thing when they were doing the promos, Pat Summerall would be doing it. And you get bummed out because you knew it was Sunday night. You had to go to school. And then they would say the plot of Murder, She Wrote. Yeah. And that was about an octogenarian solving crimes. Yeah,
exactly.
She was 59?
Yeah, she was late in life. You're like
giving Angela Lansbury the win there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great call. Tough matchup. And let's just say this for the record. How could you know Pat Summerall lived and still think Joe Buck is good? That's all I'll say. Like, how could you ever have heard Pat Summerall call a game one single time and be like, also, I like Joe Buck. Get the fuck out of here.
We got a 5-4 seed coming up.
Yep. Yes, Jason.
I got a Pat Summerall imitation.
Okay.
You guys ready for it?
Yeah.
Waters for two, maybe three.
Great job, Jason.
My buddy Jake had a couple of maybe one or two speeding tickets, so he just needed to take a defensive driving to reduce the points on his license. Yeah. And he took a defensive driving class, and he said they played a video where a guy who had a couple of DWIs.
Yeah.
Pat Summerall narrated. I remember he told me about it. He's like, oh, Pat Summerall.
Yeah, because he was a real juice head. Yeah, he was that was probably his community service.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
5-4 matchup, 4-5 matchup. We got the 4 seed, Jason's hottie, Ethel Mertz, 42 years old in I Love Lucy, versus the 5 seed, 70-year-old Nancy Marchand, Livia Soprano.
Jason, this one to you.
Yeah, I think in the first round, I thought Soprano was underrated by you guys. Even though she won, I think you guys didn't think she was as old as you thought she should have been.
I added her to the list and made her a 5 seed. She looked like shit. She's highly and rated. Was dying.
She's highly rated.
She did, but you guys didn't give her enough for looking that old.
She moved on.
I'm a big Ethel Mertz fan, so I'm
going with
Livia Soprano.
Ed?
She looked like shit.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of her in North Jersey not taking care of themselves. I'm going Ethel Mertz, 42 years old as Ethel Mertz. I cannot believe that.
I got to agree with Ed here. Yes, Livia Soprano looked very old, but a lot of people get old like that in certain parts of the country. I like Ethel Mertz here. She was 42. She was married to a 90-year-old. She looked slightly younger than him.
We got a 3-6 matchup. The 3 seed, Large Marge. Alice Nunn, the actress, was 57 as that woman driving the semi versus it was the 3-11 matchup. We've got Estelle Getty, 62 years old versus, what was her name in Golden Girls? Estelle Getty?
Oh, Sophia.
Sophia. So 11 seed Sophia from Golden Girls versus Large Marge. 57 years old.
Okay, this one's yours, Ed. Start the voting.
Can't believe I'm going against the Golden Girl. I'm going to say Large Marge at 57 didn't look like that.
Especially because Large Marge, yes, the actress is 57, but for some reason she was playing 39, which is like
playing 37.
Yeah, it's 37. If she's supposed to be 37, I mean, it's her in a route. But still, Estelle Getty is one of the classic old looking relatively young people, I'm gonna take Sophia from the Golden Girls, the mother of B. Arthur, who was younger than B. Arthur. Jason Stewart with the deciding vote.
Oh, man.
Oh,
break that tie.
I don't vote for Golden Girls on this.
What?
I don't vote for Golden Girls. That was my rule in the first round. I think the Golden Girls did a lot to put the makeup on and be deceptive. So I'm going to go against Estelle Getty on this
one. Wow.
Large Marge wins it.
Marge moves on. I mean, it's a great pick.
Large Marge, it was a combination of she didn't take care of herself at all.
No.
Combined with the two cartons a day.
I'm sure. But also she was a ghost. It should be noted that she was a ghost. I mean, it is what it is, but Large Marge moves on.
Our final matchup of the round, we've got a 10 seed Rue McClanahan, 53 years old in the Golden Girls, versus the 2 seed Jean Stapleton, Edith Bunker, 47 years old.
Come on, Edith Bunker in a rout.
This is a sweep.
Jason?
Yeah, that again, I don't do Golden Girls, and Edith, that's a shocking age.
It really is.
For the way she was.
Stunning, stunning. In her 40s. Next up.
All right. So are we moving to the men's or are we moving on?
Let's move on to the men's bracket.
Men's bracket. We're in the sports. We've got the 1 seed, Greg Oden, 19 years old, 07 draft, versus the 9 seed, Ally Afraidy, who's 57 years old today.
Jason Stewart, your choice here.
I think Ally Afraidy was something that none of us saw coming in the first one until we Googled and looked at how he looked. And there was this weird, there's a couple images of him having that back of the hair baldness, trying to keep the front intact, and then a mullet. And I think that picture will win every round. If you look at that picture alone, you'll say, well, Ally Afraidy. So I'm going to go with that one.
Ally Afraidy. Okay.
Okay.
Ed Daly?
I'm going Greg Oden. Nobody should be a teenager looking like that.
This is a tough one because no one loves Ally Afraidy more than I do.
I agree with Jason.
100%.
Somebody suggested Ally Afraidy, and I Googled him. Yeah. I was like, he can't be that old looking. And it was like, oh my God, that was jarring.
Even at the time, I just thought he was one of the old guys in the league. I'm just stunned to learn that the time I was watching Ally Afraidy and playing him on NHL 92, that he was 26 years old. It's so much. And in any other matchup, Ally Afraidy is going to win. But Greg Oden was a teen. He was basically a boy.
He's a boy.
He was a child. And he looked like that. Greg Oden has to move on here.
Has to.
Yeah.
Has to. So congrats on Ally Afraidy looking young again.
Yes. Everybody.
All right. We've got a 4-5 matchup. 4 seed Chris Berman, who was in his mid-30s in the NFL primetime heyday of the 90s, versus Otis Nixon, the 5 seed, who is 65 today.
Ed Daly?
As much as I just don't like anything about him, and he looked red and old.
Yeah.
Otis Nixon is one of the all-time old guys. Yeah.
I mean, this is a tough one because all these matchups are getting so tough because Chris Berman, you remember that stupid clip of him catching the pass in Tampa? And you're like, that poor old son of a bitch. He's out there catching passes in his late 50s, early 60s. That man was in his 30s. He was in his 30s.
How he had like 6 favorite teams too. He'd be like the Raiders or the Bills or the Niners. And it's like, what? Come on.
I'm annoyed that he's still doing it. I thought he fucking retired a while ago.
Yeah.
And while I would
teasing us with the retirement,
I know while I would love to leave it up to Jason Stewart to do something wild here. How can I not vote for Otis Nixon? The man was in his 20s. He looks 60 years old.
One of those Braves baseball cards.
Yes. Jason,
I'm looking at a story in 2013.
Yeah.
With the headline, Otis Nixon, former Major League Baseball player Otis Nixon, arrested with a crack pipe in his pocket. I'm guessing he had a crack pipe in his pocket his entire playing career. Yes.
Oh, like Rock Raines, remember?
Why he slid head first.
When you saw him in the late 80s, though, you could use his picture to show other ballplayers that if you do crack
cocaine,
you'll look like this guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a sweep.
Okay, fair.
Okay, someone who touched a nerve last time. We've got 11 seed Charlie Steiner, who's 74 today.
Yes.
Versus the 3 seed. This is unfair. 48-year-old Jim Leland from the 92 Pirates.
Oh, God, come on. Charlie Steiner, while not having the name recognition, if you were watching SportsCenter in the early 90s,
that's not a 30-year-old.
No, that's crazy. But still, Jim Leland looked 85 years old. He looked so old. I go Leland. Jason Stewart?
You're saying he was 42 in the 92 series?
Nope.
He was 48. Okay. Man, this is
so he's the same age that I am now.
Yeah.
By the 92 Pirates.
Yeah. It's tough to go against Leland in any of these, but this is a tough one for me. I'm going to go with Leland now.
Okay. Jimmy Leland. It's a sweep.
We've got I battle tested because he beat Mean Gene. We've got the 10 seed Mike Elko, who's 46 years old. He's the new Texas A&M coach, old Duke coach. Yes. He's going against Sparky Anderson, the 2 seed, who was 50 on the 84 Tigers.
Ed Daly, it's your pick.
Elko looks like shit.
Yes.
But if you put him next to, if you put 46-year-old Mike Elko next to 50-year-old Sparky Anderson, you'd be like, Sparky's his dad, right? Yeah. I'm going Sparky.
You're not totally wrong, but I think you're underselling just the pure shit that Mike Elko looks like.
He looks bad. I want him to go on record to say he looks bad.
46? That man is 46? I'm taking Elko. Sparky Anderson's one of the all-time old-looking dudes, but I'm going Mike Elko here. Jason Stewart, it's up to you.
I mean, Elko, I think he made the cover of the podcast distribution last week.
He did.
If I'm not mistaken.
He actually did, yeah.
On social media.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at him again.
I think that's it was a great Cinderella.
40. Oh, my God.
No, it was a great Cinderella in the first round. It was a great Cinderella. I don't know if I could do it again because Sparky Anderson is the cautionary tale why you look too great and live on. I kind of have to go with Spark. I can't believe he was that age during that time.
Yes, Sparky Anderson. Wow. Okay.
We've got some heavyweight battles the next round in the sports. We're moving to sitcom bracket.
Okay.
Fred Mertz, 1 seed, 64 years old. 8 seed, Jim Backus, 51 years old.
I mean, this is me. I mean, Mertz was kind of old, but except he was only in his 60s. Jim Backus.
Going into this tournament, I thought Mertz was going to walk to the title.
Yeah. Jim Backus looked very old, but was younger than Fred Mertz at the time. Oof. I'm going Thurston Howell III. Jason Stewart. Oh, he's Googling.
I just think that I need to remain consistent on this. I need to remain consistent.
Okay.
I need to go to Fred Mertz.
Oh, okay.
Just because of that Ethel juxtaposition.
Yes,
because she's so hot.
Because you love I Love Lucy. Okay. Ed Daly.
So when we were kicking around these ideas, and we're like, oh, we should have the Howls in there.
Yeah.
And Lovey Howell didn't look good for 64 or something. Yeah. And then when I Googled the age of Jim Backus, I was like, what? Yeah. To me, that was one of the shocking, like, Jim Backus wins over Fred Mertz.
Yeah, there it is.
Big couldn't upset. Believe it.
Yeah, love it.
We got 12 seed Ted Knight, 46 years old on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, or 56 in Caddyshack, versus Coach, 58 years old on Cheers.
Jason Stewart.
I voted against Coach, I think, in the first round.
It was Reverend Jim Christopher Lloyd was the opponent.
I noticed that Jason's real wrapped up in what he did before. He's like, he doesn't want to sway, yeah, but there's,
you need to be consistent,
but there's potential. You could have voted for both guys, and it's, and every match is every
thinking
they're not, every matchup is a new, as an individual matchup.
Matchups.
Yeah.
I don't want the listeners to think I'm losing credibility.
No, that's true.
So I can't pick Coach. I can't, Coach cannot advance.
Jason's a man.
So you're on Ted Knight.
Ted Knight.
Am I up?
Yeah. Too much, Ed, son.
Yep.
I'm going Coach on Cheers. 58 years old, and he died, I think, also like Livia Soprano. He died after two seasons.
Yeah.
It's easy to win when your ship comes in.
I mean, Ted Knight is so good and so fucking old looking. Like, he's 56 on Caddyshack. You thought he was in his late 70s. Like, he's a retiring judge. He's playing at a country club. Like, he's at the end of his life, you're thinking. 56 is a relatively young man.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Coach also seemed very old. I'm going to give it to Ted Knight here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yep.
Big one.
Yep.
So we've got a 6 seed versus a 3 seed. We got 6 seed Jason Alexander, 30 years old as George Costanza, versus 3 seed Carol O'Connor, 46 years old as Archie Bunker.
This one's yours, Ed.
Look, I think part of it is somebody who's fully bald at 30.
Yeah.
We judge, which, you know, it happens to people.
Yeah.
But Archie Bunker at 46 should not happen to anyone.
I mean, it's just truly one of the shocking ones. Yeah. I sent you sometime this week that
was that the McDLT commercial?
Yeah. Somebody posted Jason Alexander singing and dancing in a McDLT commercial from 1985. And I was like, this man is 25 years old.
And the song and dance nature of it made you think about stuff.
Yeah, it definitely did. I mean, 25? The guy was 25. He was 30 on Seinfeld. That said, Carol O'Connor is one of the oldest looking young dudes that they're, I mean, 47, younger than you and I. This guy is Archie Bunker. Jason Stewart, clean sweep.
I want to make it clear that each of
he
these
voted
guys
last
are
time.
5 foot 2.
Yes, yes.
They're both 5 foot 2.
Wait, yes. Carol O'Connor was 5'2"? Was he a short guy?
Digits, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dude, Ethel was just towering over him. It was ridiculous.
With her hot
I'm
gonna sexuality.
Go with, I need to go with Carol O'Connor on this one.
Yeah.
Carol O'Connor on this
Great
one.
Choice.
Final matchup of the round. We got 7 seed Red Fox, 49 years old on Sanford and Son, versus 2 seed Al Lewis, Grandpa Munster, 41 years old.
Wow. This one's mine, right?
Yeah. What do you want, you big dummy?
Yeah.
But Al Lewis.
Yes, I know.
41.
He was a convincing grandpa. It's tough. Only because, I mean, this is a real toss-up matchup. Only because of the black and white and the makeup nature of the character, I'm going to go Red Fox doing copious amounts of cocaine on the set of Sanford and Son. I like him in this matchup. Jason Stewart.
So he was Otis Nixon before Otis Nixon.
Yeah.
But no, I've got to remain consistent on this one.
We've heard that.
I'm going against Red Fox on this one.
So you like Grandpa Al Munster here?
You know what? To to be honest, I think my reasoning in the first round was that the Munsters could put all that makeup on and maybe make them look older.
Yeah. Lily was hot.
Tough one.
Oh, yeah. Lily could get it.
No, you're right. You talked me out of it, Ed. Okay. You talked me out of it. I'm going to go with Red Fox.
Oh, wow.
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 All right, so he wins. Yeah. I was going to go Al Lewis.
I had 41 a feeling.
It's
crazy. It's crazy.
But yeah, that was a toss up. That's an overtime matchup there.
For sure.
All right, movie bracket. We got the one seed, Wilford Brimley, 50 years old, Cocoon, versus 8 seed, 38 year old, John Lithgow as Reverend Moore in Footloose. Oh, is it me?
No, it's Jason. Jason Stewart.
I'm going to defer to the casting director on Cocoon, because that casting director was supposed to be casting people in their 60s.
Yeah.
And the fact that they found this guy looking that old at his age, he looked
bad for his 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh,
yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. Ed?
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, Lithgow looks not great for 38. Yes. Brimley looks like for 50.
He's an all-time classic.
We've got 12 seed, a surprising winner, the 23-year-old Nick Cage from H.I. McDonough from Raising Arizona versus the 13 seed John Candy, who was 37 as Del Griffith in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
This one's your choice, Ed. Daily's choice.
I'm going Nick Cage. 23-year-olds are not supposed to look like that. He was fabulous in that movie.
Yeah.
He doesn't look 23.
Honestly, I got to agree. And I mean, it's just, you got to go extra points for the youngness. He was 23 and he looked
we were 23, we were boys.
Yeah. He looked like he could be well into his 40s at that point versus John Candy. Yes. He was an old looking 37 for sure, but it not as stunning as H.I. McDonough. I like Nick Cage to win this one. Jason Stewart.
Yeah, my reasoning was Nick Cage at an early age started carving himself up, plastic surgery early. And so he was basically agreeing with us that he looked way too old too soon.
Right. Yeah, I got to start making changes.
Good point. That's a really good point.
This is a tough one. 6 seed, Abe Vigoda, 51 years old, as Tessio in The Godfather. Versus 3 seed Pat Morita, 52, as Mr. Miyagi. So they both were just about the same age. So who looked worse?
Yeah, I think
Tessio or Miyagi.
I think this one's mine. Man,
this is very difficult.
This is so hard. I mean, if I have to gun to my head,
I go back and forth on this.
Yeah, one. I gotta say, Abe Vigoda looked older. And Pat Morita looked very old. 52 is a young man. Like, that's an old looking 52, but Abe Vigoda, 51, he looked 100. I got to go Abe Vigoda. Jason Stewart.
The thing that sells me is that I don't think that Abe Vigoda was ever going to be even in a scene kicking the asses of teenagers in skeleton suits.
Yeah.
So Abe's got to win on this one.
Yep.
That's a sweep.
Yeah. Good point, Jason. Yep.
Final matchup of this round. We got the 7 seed, Fred Thompson, 48 years old, as Ed Trudeau in Die Hard 2, versus the 2 seed, 36-year-old Burt Young as Paulie in Rocky.
Well, this one's Jason's, right?
I think so.
It's impossible to vote against Burt Young. I can't believe he was only 36.
Yeah,
agreed.
It's really disturbing.
Yeah,
how old he looks.
It's Burt Young.
Fred gave it a run, but I mean, Fred beat Mark Margolis.
Yeah,
from Breaking Bad, Hector Salamanca, but his run ends here.
Yeah. That wraps it up for round two, Ed.
Yep.
That is,
we got the miscellaneous.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
50-year-old Alex Jones versus 52-year-old Travis Rogers.
Ed Daly, your choice.
Travis Alex Jones last week.
Yeah, he did.
He over beat Brian Becker.
Over Brian Becker.
I know. I thought Becker won.
Aren't you being consistent here? Because you voted for him.
Yeah. Alex Jones.
I voted for Becker last week. Yeah.
Alex Jones beats Travis Rogers in this one.
I mean, Alex Jones, pretty old looking. He was one of the originals where we were. I mean, I think I made a hashtag an Alex Jones
seed in this bracket.
Yeah, an Alex Jones truther bracket. But I mean, my man Travis, he sent me a picture the other day, and he was kind of like looking up, and there was so much neck happening in the because he kind of shaved the beard. There was so much neck happening in that picture. I was like, my man, you got to like learn the angles. So you took that chin down and stick it out. Also, he's on a fitness kick, so he's really slimmed down quite a bit, which can kind of, you know, make a man look sickly. I'm happy.
It can work for you or against you. That's the weird thing.
Yes, and it's working for him in a sense. But I'm going to leave this one up to Jason Stewart, because I'm taking Travis Rogers over Alex Jones.
I just want to go on the record. You were not close to Alex Jones in my book.
Well, it's a tough matchup.
And I will say that I've been on a fitness kick with Travis Rogers. In fact, the two of us discovered the Atkins diet at the same time.
Oh, is this the Pizza Hut thing?
I love this.
We went to the Pizza Hut and we just stacked uneaten crusts.
I believe it was Shakey's.
I thought it was Straw Hat, but he actually said the other day that it's Pizza Hut. He told me.
Okay. You got those Mojo potatoes. Oh no, you weren't eating those. You were just eating the pizza.
Carbs.
Yeah, you were just eating the pizza tops.
Just cheese.
Were you licking the sauce off of it?
No, you can't do that. Too many carbs, too much sugar.
Well, let me ask you this. When the bus boy would come to take away your your trays, your disgusting trays of leftover pizza crust, did you notice that Travis would make very hard eye contact with the bus boy at the time?
Yes.
Yes, and that's what I thought.
But think about this. Think about this. It was all you could eat buffet.
Yeah.
And when Pizza Hut or Straw Hat or whatever decided to do all you could eat lunches, you would think that no way in hell would they think that people would just have 2 pounds of crust left over, and we did it.
Yeah.
So
congrats.
Amazing.
Being on a fitness kick with Travis means I'm not going to send him to the next round on this one.
Ah, you son of a bitch. Alex Jones moves on. Look, Alex Jones does look older.
He's so unhealthy.
He looks disgusting. Like shit. Yeah. Yeah.
We've got a 5-seed Ron DeSantis, who's 45 today.
Stop.
But here's a crazy matchup versus the 4-seed Bernie Capel, Doc from the Love Boat, 44 at the time.
Whoa! Holy shit. This is for the first time this episode. I got to Google here because I remember being recently really stunned that Ron DeSantis was 45. But I'm going to just, for my own edification, I'm going to take a look at Bernie Capel, Love Boat era. Oh, here he is with Julie Doc.
Julie, who liked to booger sugar.
Oh, yeah, she did. She liked to party. Let me just get it. Man, I might order this. This is on eBay. There's a Love Boat headshot signed by Doc, $59.99 for a 44-year-old Doc. Man, oh, here's another one. He's looking. This might have been a later season. He's looking real old. Ah, fuck. I want to vote for Ron DeSantis, but I'm going to take Bernie Capel. Jason?
I think I voted for Bernie in the first round. God. And DeSantis served our country. DeSantis served our country.
Sort of.
Former athlete.
So did Bernie Capel. In the Navy.
I'm going to say Bernie Capel on this one.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, it's a sweep. I'm going Bernie Capel. Yeah. That's not a 44-year-old.
No.
He just turned 90, by the way.
Yeah.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
We've got an 11 seed, Robin Leach, who was 43 in the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, versus the 3 seed, Roy Orbison, who is 52 when he died in 1988.
And I know, look, I know it's your pick, and I know who you're picking. This is a tough matchup.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
But the guy who inspired it all, yeah. I'm still sticking with Robin Leach, 43 years old, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
This is so tough. This is so tough because Robin Leach looked so fucking old. But Roy Orbison, he died at 52 years old.
And when he died, it was like, well, it was his time.
Yes, he looked like yes. It. You're looking at him in the Traveling Wilburys, and all those guys look like shit. And you're like, this guy's 30 years older than the rest of those guys. I'm going to take Roy Orbison here over Robin Leach. Jason Stewart, it's to you.
No, I agree. As I said last time, I went down a rabbit hole recently at Traveling Wilburys. Yeah. I thought he was at least 78.
Yeah. Tough matchup. Roy Orbison moves Orbison. On.
Yes. Final matchup of this round. We've got the 41 years old today, Prince William, versus the 53 year old today, Ted Cruz.
I mean, Prince William is pretty funny, but I'll remember for the rest of my life the moment I learned that Ted Cruz was in his middle 40s when he was running for president in 2016. My mouth is still agape from that moment. He's one of the oldest looking young guys I've ever seen in my life. I like Ted Cruz to move on here. Jason Stewart.
I have to admit something.
You don't know.
I did my entire reasoning a week ago thinking that you had presented Terry Cruz.
Oh. You got to be consistent.
Yeah, I was talking about how good he looks below the neck. Oh. Terry Crews. Sorry, God.
He can flex those pecs. Yes.
Yeah. I forget. It's Ted Cruz against who?
Prince William is 41.
Prince William.
I mean, we have to look at Prince William under a different prism than we did just a week ago.
I know, because we got to feel
just
bad.
Just a week ago, no, we had no idea his wife had cancer.
Well, he doesn't have cancer, unless it's of the face.
For years,
yeah. Yeah.
Who's it going to be, Jason?
I'm going to go with Ted Cruz, because I really thought it was Terry last week. I have to go with Ted Cruz this week.
Still being consistent. Ted Cruz moves on. Amazing.
Ted advances.
That's it. Okay, that's so it. That's it, guys. Check back next week for the final installment, and maybe Jason will continue to jostle his microphone and touch it and move it around and make all that noise that you're hearing, despite the fact that the guy has worked in radio for 30 years. That will be exciting.
Oh, you hear all that?
Fantastic work by Jason. We were lucky to have him in for round two. I can't wait to see what happens in round three. But until then, Ed, I need to know who died.
Just tell us who was dead now. Just tell us who was dead now. A sad segment, very sad, and it will not be an update on who's alive. Nope. Let's get a tragic update. Tragic update. Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died. Yep. Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died? Who died? Who died?
Tell me who died.
Who died? Who died?
Ed, tell us, who died?
We lost one of the great character actors.
Yes.
M. Emmett Walsh, 83 years old, blood simple. He was the doctor in Fletch. He was so good in everything.
I mean,
he was just a great character actor.
He's so good, and I feel terrible, not just because he died, but I feel terrible that we didn't include him in our young old guy bracket.
He's only 83. I was like, 83? Yeah. Like, Blood Simple was over 30 years ago.
Yeah, it for Fletch was in 1985.
Jesus.
So that would have made him like in his like early 40s.
Yeah, he was 44 then.
44 years old in the movie Fletch.
And what did he discuss with Fletch?
This is wild.
The character Babar.
This is, come on.
The elephant.
This is insane.
What? The creator of Babar. Yes. They Brunhoff. Yeah. The Babar creator, 98 years old.
Guys, if you're not, hold on. This is a scene from the movie Fletch featuring M. Emmett Walsh, the actor that just died. For those of you not familiar, just take a look at this coincidence.
How long have you had these pains, Mr. Barber?
Now that's Babar.
Two B's?
One B. B-A-B-A-R.
That's two.
Yeah, but not right next to each other. I thought that's what you meant.
Arnold Babar. Isn't there a children's book about an elephant named Babar?
I don't know. I don't have any.
No children?
No elephant books.
First, I'm... Just,
that's a crazy coincidence.
Yes, and this guy was 44 years old?
Nuts.
He could have won the whole thing, Ed.
He could have walked. He's looking at Archie Bunker and like, fuck yes, this dude.
Yes, totally. Well, RIP to the Babar person and also the great M. Emmett Walsh.
I gotta say, I'll just say he died. Peter Angelos, the Orioles owner, 94 years old. Everyone's mood lightened when the sale was announced a couple months ago, but it was announced that when Angelos died, his sons were way worse.
Yeah.
But he wasn't good either.
No.
94 years old.
He wasn't. He was one of those real big market, small market guys, except Baltimore is pretty much a big market, but he wanted to say it was a small market all the time.
Yeah. He's an ambulance chaser, I believe.
Oh, was he?
I think so. He was a lawyer that, I think he was an asbestos lawsuit lawyer that bought the Orioles. And, I wouldn't say to his credit, but when he was the principal guy, they were, a middle-of-the-road spending team, and his sons took over when he no longer could remember his shoelaces, and they spent 30th and 29th in the league.
Yeah.
His sons were worse.
Yeah. Real pieces
or a son, John.
Well, hopefully they sell.
Yeah. Well, it's already done. The sale was contingent. It had to do with inheritance tax and stuff. Yeah. So they said as soon as he dies. So the new owner takes over this week, something like
that. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris Simon, RIP. He was a former NHL enforcer who won the Stanley Cup with the Avs in 96. He was 52 years old. Sadly believe he took his own life. Oh,
death by suicide.
I remember him on the Capitals. I think he was a Ranger. He was a tough guy, which we've seen. We've read the names of a lot of these kind of guys.
Yeah, a lot of head trauma back in the day. This guy, Chris Simon, very sad. RIP.
Very sad. RIP David Seidler, Oscar-winning screenwriter of this King's Speech, 86 years old. I got to say, I can't stand Royal Family or any of their bullshit. I kind of like that movie.
I didn't see it. That's the one with Clive Owen, the other guy.
No, the non-Clive Owen guy that you know. Yeah. But the premise was, and I think it's kind of compelling, this king, at the advent of World War II, had to speak, but he had a stutter, and his brother's like, I'm going to go fucking American, so I'm abdicating.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you're king. And he's like, I can't speak. And the whole thing was like him getting training so he could address the nation because he didn't expect to ever be, and he couldn't be the guy speaking for the nation. It was just kind of a good character piece, but not terribly compelling.
Stutter's a real bummer.
It sucks.
Anybody out there, you got a stutter. I'm here. I'm in your corner. That's no fun.
That's why I kind of, I thought it was a good screenplay, even though fuck the Royal Family.
Of course, obviously. Okay. Let's talk some sports.
name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports?
The big news in the sports world this week, as you well know, Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
There was some gambling issues.
Yes.
And he threw that interpreter, or the Dodgers threw that interpreter right under the bus to cover for his potential gambling issues. Yeah. And then he had a press conference today where he's like, I've never bet on sports in my life, which feels like there's a lot of opportunity to prove him wrong.
This is tough because at first, well, first of all, I'm like, I don't really care. But then I'm like, unless he was betting on sumo, like Japanese dudes don't care about the total on the Giants Eagles.
Right.
But who does care is Asian dudes from Diamond Bar, which is his interpreter. So I was like, oh, it's probably just the interpreter. But then it's a lot of money. It almost seems like, and he was best friends with the interpreter. So maybe I could see a scenario where the interpreter drew him into this kind of world where he was a bad influence. I don't fucking know what to believe.
Fair.
Yeah.
But the argument right now is that he knew nothing about it. Yeah. He, like, that was his buddy. And it's like, that doesn't look.
It seems like unlikely. It seems unlikely. It's interesting because as a Dodger fan, it's, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to care more about this. But Shohei Ohtani, to me, he's played one game as a Dodger. So I could kind of give a shit, you know, like if he's going to be suspended or whatever, just get it done. Let's get this over with, because he hasn't become a Dodger to me. Like if a true Dodger like Kike Hernandez or Max Muncy got popped for gambling, I'd be super bummed out right now. But because it's a guy that I don't really have any affinity for yet, I don't really care one way or the other.
It's not like my favorite non-Oriole of all time, Ichiro.
Yeah.
But I really liked Ohtani.
Yeah. I like him too. Yeah.
I hope for the best.
Yeah.
But I definitely think he's more involved than just some happy-go-lucky guy that loaned his interpreter money got robbed.
As my grandmother would say, he knows more than his prayers.
Yeah.
So it's going to come out. The truth is going to rear its ugly or not so ugly head very quickly. So we'll find out soon enough.
A Jets fan sent Mike Williams, the former Chargers receiver, a Taylor ham, egg and cheese bagel sandwich as he visited the team. And he signed shortly thereafter and cited that as one of the reasons he signed.
Now Taylor ham it's just like a mash. It's just like a kind of like a sausagey thing that they fry, right?
Salty meat. I gotta say, it's either called pork roll in South Jersey, Taylor ham in North Jersey.
Yeah.
I went to University of Maryland, 3 hours south of here.
Yeah.
Three and a half, maybe. It doesn't exist down there. I don't know why.
Yeah.
If you're ever visiting the New York area, get yourself a Taylor ham / pork roll, egg and cheese. Like, it's the best breakfast sandwich in the history of sandwiches.
Now, am I allowed to choose what type of bagel I have it on?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Well, no, what are the rules? I mean, are there rules to this?
Oh, well, I would say there was some bullshit a couple months ago we did on the show where somebody's like, can I get a hollowed out bagel? Like, you're getting a fucking bagel, not like ground out bagel, but like,
And then,
I mean, you're not going to do some bullshit like I'll take it on a blueberry bagel or something.
Not.
But,
no,
like,
no,
but I'm saying if you want sesame, everything, egg, whatever, like that's fine. But I'm telling you, this is the greatest breakfast sandwich ever. If you're in New York, you got to get a pork roll / Taylor ham, egg and cheese. Have to.
Okay. I want one. And I didn't look. This is news to me as a sort of a Chargers fan. I didn't know Mike Williams was not on the Chargers anymore.
Yeah, just signed. Boxer Ryan Garcia tweeted his support to women supporters by offering female fans free boob jobs and Brazilian butt lifts.
I don't know much about this Ryan Garcia guy, but I know that he's like,
he's pretty handsome.
He's handsome, but I think he's exhibiting full on signs of CTE, and people are like, dude, you're on cocaine. And he's like, I'm not on cocaine. I think he's just nuts. Like he's got some real issues, and they've come on very young.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
Yeah. Yes.
How could he possibly get CTE?
That's a good question. Well, it's probably just genetically predisposed. Now, I don't know how wealthy this guy is. I don't know if he's got Shohei Ohtani money, but he
don't offer too many
plastic
surgery situations unless you want them to go with Kanye's mom treatment. You're just going to send them to Mexico for like $45.
Yes. Well, you know, I was talking to my chick the other day about, she was saying somebody was interested in getting hair plugs, and I go, oh, is he going to Turkey? And she's like, yes. She's like, how did you know about that? And I'm like, I've seen it on Instagram. Like, Turkey is the place you go to get the best hair plugs in the world now. You fly to Turkey.
Of course.
And you
even I know that. Yes. I don't need a hair plug.
I know.
Know it.
Yes. You get the plugs.
He knows Turkaloo. Yes. He knows.
He knows. Of course he knows. Absolutely. So, yeah, there's probably a Brazilian butt lift. I guess you go to Brazil for that, right?
Seems like too much. That would suck. Yeah. Like recovery, if you have to have a recovering ass.
Yeah.
What, you not sitting?
Yes, that is actually what they do, because I think they take fat from other parts of your body and then they shove it into your ass. They inject it into your ass, but it needs to be shaped like an ass still. So they inject all the fat into your ass, and then they shape your ass, and then you just got to lay there until it like sets, and it's months of time. It's like a few months.
That sounds
like a drag. Yeah.
This is one of the favorite names I've ever stumbled across.
Yeah.
Celebrity jeweler Shuki International.
Hold on.
He's begging Antonio Brown to return the diamond rings. Stop playing games. Shuki International is the kind of name I would, if I had a daughter, I'd have her marry.
Truly. I mean, it's borders along prestige worldwide. There's prestige worldwide. Yes. There's Shuki International. They're both fantastic.
Look at this picture where they're both holding up a pair of underwear together.
Okay, I'm gonna look here.
Look like they're holding up grippers.
Yes, hold on. Let's just take a look right now. Here we go.
Shuki International in this picture looks like that LFMAO band guy with the white. Yeah.
Whose dad is Barry Gordy. This guy looks like a jeweler. He's willing to tear up his court judgment against Antonio Brown if the former NFL star simply gives him back his diamonds. Shuki has been in a war. This guy looks so shady. Oh, and he's got
love this dude.
He's got the money team Mayweather hat on. Writing in a lawsuit back in 2023 that the ex-Tampa Bay Buccaneers wideout borrowed his iconic, who doesn't know about the Shuki International finger covers, Ed? Like, it's, of course they're iconic. Everybody knows about those and other prized possessions in 2022. Oh, look, are you looking at the finger covers, Ed?
I love them.
It's like rings. It's like those finger cots that Jackie the Joke Man used to wear when he was right. That's so he right. Didn't get the Sharpie all over his fingers. But it's like a stack of the finger cots that go all the way down your finger. And then on the inside, it says something really cool like Shuki International on the actual finger cuffs or finger cots. It's beautiful.
Yeah. To me, he's now my second favorite celebrity, Shuki International. He's my second favorite.
Who's your first?
It's Archie Bunker,
of course. I think. beautiful. Look, get Antonio. Get, you know what Shuki should do, Ed? He should be like, hey, Antonio, it's all good. Give me back the rings. And I won't send Vontaze Burfict to your house to get him back. Just send him back to me right now. And we could call it square. Otherwise,
just hire Vontaze for like $25 and be like, hey, just show up at his door and ask for those rings back.
Yes. Just go put on your Bengals jersey. He'll remember. Go knock on the door and be like, hey, it's me, Tez. I would like Shuki's ring. I don't like these things are finger covers. The Shuki International finger covers. Like he wants those back. And look, they don't say Antonio Brown on them. They say Shuki International. Like this, it's pretty obvious who they belong to.
They look great.
They're beautiful. I love them. Please return this man's items to him. Okay, let's do some emails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish.
Okay, quite a few voicemails to get to this week as we didn't play. We got so balls deep in our Young Old Guy tournament initial opening round last weekend we didn't get to our voicemail. So quite a few to get to. Let's get them rolling here.
Hey, Brian and Ed, it's Jeff in Denver. Ed, I just want to say happy birthday. It's a day late, but you know, what better way to celebrate 311 day is to wish Edward Daly a happy birthday.
It's the best birthday.
Thank you.
I wanted to, I don't know if you guys added Danny DeVito in for the old guy bracket. I know that's coming up probably in the next month or so. But that's my, you know, that's my...
He's a good one, but based on what we know so far, Ed, I feel like Danny DeVito, while delightful, I mean, the competition is just too stiff.
It is, and I would say if he didn't do anything after Taxi...
Yeah, yeah.
We'd be like, yeah, he doesn't look that good. But I think he's downright robust in his work these days.
Kind of stayed the same age.
For a guy in, mid-70s or whatever, he looks, or maybe even late 70s, he's great now. And so it kind of clouds everything.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was delightful when my girlfriend a couple months ago was sitting on the couch watching Twins stoned. And she remarked on how much Danny DeVito was my spitting image in that movie. And I said to her, I go, oh, that's not a compliment. And she's like, what? No, just in the face. And I'm like, again, it is not quite what I want to hear at this moment. So, but yeah, I'll take it.
Thanks for that.
Yes. Thank you.
But I mean, yes, I would say, I don't think I've ever met someone who doesn't like Danny DeVito. So there are worse comparisons because like everyone loves him.
No, he's great. He's great. He's fantastic. He's delightful. He's a great actor. He makes everything he's in better. He's great.
And also, like, crazy underrated as a producer. He produced Pulp Fiction. Like, he was the first guy to give big funding to that movie. Like, he has done real things.
No, he's the man.
As a producer.
He's an icon.
My suggestion, since he still looks like he looked when he was on Taxi and he was probably his 30s.
Yeah, he was.
In the 80s. Also, quick question. Have you guys met yet? I know that it's been a while.
No.
That, you know.
This Jeff really has a hard time getting the words out. Are you noticing this? Does he have snake poisoning from boiling the mice? What's going on there, Ed or Jeff?
He's winded from pretending to be a live snake with a frozen snake.
Yes,
live mouse with a frozen mouse.
He's very distracted by the roads of Denver. Apparently, Jeff. Yes, a great guy.
I think Ed was making his way to California at some point.
Yes.
Brian, you were out of town.
That is true.
But have you guys had the had the pleasure of actually shaking hands yet.
No, but
you guys take care.
I might
appreciate the show.
I might book a flight just so I could get that Taylor ham and cheese, ham and egg.
You might not move back. That's the problem. No, it's that good.
No, it sounds pretty good. Am I allowed to? Do I just get the egg however they put it on there? Or it's scrambled. The egg's scrambled on there? Or can I ask for the egg how I want it? I don't want to. See, here's the thing. I don't want to do it
wrong. Are you going to go egg white?
No, I want like over easy. But I don't want to do it wrong.
But that's it. It's not scrambled. It's a Friday.
It's a Friday? Oh, perfect. Okay. I'll take it that way. That's perfect. Okay. Thank you for that, Jeff in Denver. Here's another one.
Ed, I am so sorry. Happy belated birthday. I totally forgot. And that's shitty of me. But yeah, I hope you had a wonderful birthday. If it makes you feel any better, that day is my wedding anniversary, and I forgot that too. And yeah, anyway. All right, guys. Happy birthday, Ed. Bye, Brad.
Happy anniversary.
Love you. Yeah. I know that you think I always disagree with you, but never disagree.
That's true.
Anyway, bye.
She's a delight.
What a delight she is.
She's great. Here's another one.
Hey, fellas, what's going on? Hey,
David Bray.
Yeah, well wishes on the little heart insert. I think it's like it's not a pacemaker, one in there.
I love that David Bray and David, we love you. We're in your corner and we're rooting for you.
Of course.
But I love that you're having something inserted into your chest to regulate your heartbeat and keep you alive, and you're you're not exactly sure of what the name of it is. You're like, that's this little heart insert. I don't know.
Bullshit.
Yeah. up right above my heart.
What a fucking man.
Appreciate that, awesome. Guys. I didn't really want to tell you other than 75 hard, but God, I just finished last week's episode, and Brian, you know I love penises, I'd like to talk about them. How can you say that you had the unfortunate, you know, you're at a party, unfortunate sighting of Terrence Howard's penis, but then not allowed?
Well, hold on. I could see where that would be confusing. I was at a party where Terrence Howard was at. I didn't see his penis at the party. His penis has been in movies, and we looked it up one time on this show. So, yeah. And unfortunately, and this, it would be, and I've read essays about this because unfortunately there's certain stereotypes that we feel are earned. And one of them is that men of African American descent or African descent have larger penises. And that is not true for our friend Terrence Howard, which might be,
so
cause some of his anger.
A once upon a time lady friend of mine that I haven't talked to in a long time.
Oh, uh-huh.
She said it's a grower shower thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was what she said. And that's what I slept well knowing pretending that I believed that.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, oh yeah, for sure. Cause I'm a grower you know, that it's comforting that.
Oh yeah.
I can feel like, all right. So I just perform at the right moment, but
yeah. So maybe Terrence Howard is the same way because he was, but you gotta, if you're going to be on film, you gotta Kevin Bacon or Ben Affleck, get a little blood going, you know, warm it up.
Yeah.
So that's what I meant by that, David Bray. I didn't go to a party where everyone was just getting their dicks out, and one of them happened to be Terrence Howard. I would just add a Terrence Howard and I have
were
a mutual
at a key party with him.
We have a mutual friend, and I'll be honest, I left shortly after Terrence Howard showed up, and when I went down to the garage to get my car, all the parking attendants were talking about, "Hey, that's that dude from Hustle and Flow." Yeah, he just walked up. Yeah. They were all excited about it, but I left shortly after. I did not see Spence.
I had let off of this Iron Man 2.
Oh yeah. That was a tough one for him.
Dude lost a big bag for that
huge.
One.
Huge.
Just like Jeffrey Epstein's penis was described as egg-shaped in his deposition.
Yeah.
Egg-shaped penis, but you got to do better than that. I actually like Terrence Howard. He's a great actor. I'm probably the only white guy that actually watched Empire, so. And then another thing. Oh, as far as Oscar snubs in the In Memoriam, I'm still pissed about Tom Sizemore. I know last year was pretty close, but damn, man, Like, it was pretty, he died pretty close to the deadline, but, you know, the fucking guy was a A-list actor. Yeah, he had a bad, you know, yeah, ending, but last few years, but like in Saving Private Ryan, back to Point Break. He always played the ultimate bad guy. He was one of my favorite actors.
What about True Romance?
He was great in a lot of things. He did, always definitely great. Deserved to be in there.
Of course.
Yeah, his tuning of women, yeah, not great.
He on a lot of meth.
But you separate the art from the artist for that. Like, he definitely left a legacy in Hollywood as a great actor.
He was a great fucking actor, no question about it.
Yes, that's for sure. They would get him this year. That's bullshit. And then as far as Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone, I'm with you. That is bullshit. Emma Stone. I'm just tired of hearing that fucking name.
Didn't she already win an Oscar for that time that white people saved jazz?
Yeah.
She won an Oscar for that, right?
I think they invented jazz.
That's right. White people invented jazz in that movie. Like, that should be enough.
Mainly her thing that she said about, I don't know, a week or two ago into Vogue or one of those shitty magazines, that anxiety's bullshit. You can just, it's how you live and feel. Well, bitch, you know what?
Did she say that?
I don't know.
Millions of dollars, hundreds or whatever. Of course, you probably aren't going to have much anxiety. What about the guys coming home from overseas or whatever? Or you were in a bad car wreck. Anxiety is fucking real. So
everyone,
I don't know if you heard about that, but that just, I was like so pissed that she won. She didn't deserve it. And anytime I see a movie or her, she's in some like, you know, proper London setting or all that shit, I'm out. If I see anything like that. That's all, you know, fancy and set back in the day. All right, guys. I love you both very much. Happy birthday, Ed. Take care.
Love you too, David Bray. I'll just say this. I don't know about what he's talking about with Emma Stone. It just seemed like almost everything gets reported is not actually what was said or intended at all.
All I could say is I've seen her in multiple interviews.
Yes.
She seems lovely.
Yes.
And I have seen her in different projects, and I think she's
pretty
crazy talent.
Yep. Yep. And I'm sure she's a very nice person.
When I watched Lily Gladstone, I was like, oh, she's definitely going to win. She's great. Yeah. When I saw Poor Things, I was like, this is fucking annoying.
Yeah. Baby talk. Okay. Here's another one.
Brian. Ed,
oh, Steve, right.
H-Town. Here we go.
Man, I know there was a lot of names you had to whittle down off the list of the Burt Young Invitational.
Yep.
But the one name that really shocked me that got left off the list was one of my favorites to take the whole thing, and that was Whitman Mayo, Grady from Sanford and Son.
That's true.
That dude was only 42 years old.
Man, oh, my 80. God.
Yeah.
And got a How Fucking Rich Is This Guy for you.
Okay.
Everybody knows this dude. He's been in at least 5 movies that everybody's seen. Over 400 movies total. How fucking rich is Danny Trejo? All right, guys, I'm out.
Hold on. I gotta switch the board. This is actually kind of a bummer because while we just had our dear friend Jason Stewart here, who happens to be a personal friend of Danny Trejo.
How fucking rich is this guy?
Talking about more.
I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Ed, just only because I just accidentally hit the button, who could forget this beautiful sports song that the RIP song guy wrote for us?
Talking about sports. Talking about sports.
I forgot how good this was.
So good.
Talking about sports.
About sports.
Ed knows a lot. Bron, not so much. Ed hates golf. Bron hates everything, but that's okay. Talking about sports.
Wow. Okay. Well, if
talking about
if sports. Jason were still here, we could ask him. Hey, how much is your friend Danny Trejo worth? Because you know him. He actually had his birthday at one of Danny Trejo's restaurants, of which he owns several locations.
Wow.
Ed, what are your thoughts? What do you think Danny Trejo is worth?
So people of a certain age would know him from so many things. He's not first on the call list, but he's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And including like Desperado, where he's great, but he was paid scale or whatever, less than scale for that. So we know him, but like not often. I know Machete, but I'm going to say 10. I'm going to say 10 because he's been in a million things.
Yes. He's in Heat.
And you said like the whole restaurant thing. Yeah. Like he's got backers. I'm going to say 10.
Yeah, Trejo's Tacos. He's got, I mean, who knows what kind of brand deals the guy's got. He's a very recognizable face. Ed, celebrity net worth is doing our guy, Danny Trejo, dirty. Danny Trejo, net worth, $500,000.
No.
But hold on. I agree with you. They're doing him dirty. But here's what it says in the...
Like eight ex-wives kind of thing?
Yeah, in the AI written notes here. Bankruptcy. In February 2023, Danny Trejo filed for Chapter 11 personal bankruptcy. The filing came after Danny accumulated around $2 million worth of IRS debt.
Jeez.
According to an interview he gave with TMZ on the day of the filing, the debt was mostly related to, quote, mistaken deductions. Trejo and the IRS reportedly reached an agreement on a payment plan that would have him make four payments of $200,000 per year until early 2028 to pay off his debt. However, recent strikes from the actors and writers have thrown a wrench in Danny's plans, and he may have to sell off one of his houses. Jeez. This
tells me we need to have him on the show.
We do. He actually, I believe his manager pitched him to Jay Stu as a guest one time. So we'll have him on to talk about his situation because we love Danny Trejo.
How did you machete your financials?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully he Boris Becker'd the numbers.
Well, are you saying filled up a condom that was impregnated with someone?
That is not what I meant. Okay, thank you for that. H-Town Steve, here's another one.
Brian, Ed, Baller Nation, hey, I know it's been a while, and I'm going to out myself. I'm obviously not team current. I've been doing lots of other things. And I was working on some bits for like 6 weeks or something, and I'm not going to do any of that. I went on a date last night, and I'm not even calling about this.
And congrats.
Yeah.
Fucking beautiful.
Oh.
Nice. I'll tell you guys about that more later, but I'm about to get unretired for real.
Oh,
anyway, and Cheeto and that orange-haired, pink-haired guy—I forget his name because I'm kind of hungover. Actually,
Sean O'Malley. You're all over the place, fight,
but that other cat, man, he's a striker. He's a tactician. He beat Cheeto up.
Talking about the UFC bantamweight champion, Sean O'Malley.
Anyway, I called about a different kind of beating up. And no, not like that. That's off, not up. Anyway, this Mike Tyson thing, before it gets out too far. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Jake Paul, I think he's 27. Mike Tyson's forgotten more boxing than Jake Paul will ever know.
Sure. Okay, I'm going to cut him off. So we can talk about that. Here's the issue for me, Ed, with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are going to box on Netflix.
But he's going to carry him. That's the problem.
That's the thing. The problem with these made-for-TV fights is that Jake Paul is paying the freight. So if you're showing up, Jake Paul is kind of your boss in there. Like, he's the one... like. Mike Tyson, nobody's paying Mike Tyson $10 million or whatever he's getting to box anymore. Obviously, he's 57 years old. So it's kind of like it's not a fair fight in the sense that everyone's sort of just grateful to be there. So they all just pretty much take a dive, right? Like it's not going to be a real fight.
The worst thing is I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing, because I know what's going to happen. Yeah. Just like when it was Mike Tyson versus who?
Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I want to see it. And I could see they were just like trying to stay up.
Yeah, and then it comes out like 5 minutes before their fight. They go, oh, here are the rules. No headshots. It's just an exhibition. This doesn't count on their records. And you're like, what? They're taking bets on this. You know, like it's none of it's real. Nothing's real.
I'll watch it. It's not real.
I'll definitely watch it. Here's another one.
Hey, boys. A couple thoughts from the first 30 minutes of this past week's episode.
No, oh, LSU.
First off, the 75 hard song, you have to keep it.
It goes hard.
Not sure where you put it in at, maybe for the sports song, but it's a banger. It's got to stay. You got to find a place for it, Brian. Jason, my man, I don't know if it's the implants or if it's, or I'm sorry, the implant, or if it's you're fighting a cold or something, but you were doing a hell of a Jeffrey Dahmer impersonation this past week. Mm. So I think you've, got a new career possibly lined up if you need a fallback job.
Sounds like a serial killer.
And I got a disturbing visual when you started talking about the neighbor for I Love Lucy. I can't remember her name, but
Ethel Mertz.
I thought it was always that you had thing for Lucy, but comes to find out it's the neighbor that you were cranking it to when you were watching I Love Lucy back disturbing. In the day. So that was kind of disturbing. Yeah. But anyway, enjoying the show, guys. Keep it up. Thanks.
Thank you, Lala.
Yeah, he's talking about this.
If there's one thing about Jason,
yeah.
He's got to be consistent.
He's very consistent, we've learned.
Yeah.
It's the 75-hour challenge. Oof.
Fucking banger.
Yeah.
I like when he sings about the rat race.
Me too. Fat face Ryan's rat race.
Looking in the mirror, got that fat face. Pull up his shirt and realizes he got that fat. It ain't his fault he got caught up in that rat race, sitting around, and now he's gotta get up out of that place. So he proposes a challenge to all that's listening. What? It's time to get up and just get a little fitness in, so he don't have to be that chubby dad with a heart attack, midlife crisis, tub of shit, out of shape, and all of that. 5 hard days.
Breakdown.
It's 75 hard.
What a talent.
So good.
75 hard days.
He just threw this together.
It's 75 hard. It's 75 hard days. It's 75 hard. It's 75 hard days.
I mean, this could play at the club. Here we go.
He's a ball of flab with a CPAP machine. His body shaped like a pear. Come and see what I mean. That hard 75 cause he's totally inactive. Got dumped by his ex-wife for being so unattractive.
Which one?
Dead end job too.
Very,
but man, that's not surprising. Testosterone is low, but that A1.
Where are you at with your feelings waking up kind of thing? Like
this is a good question. So I've drank 2 days now that since 75 hard, and I realize I just kind of keep doing the 75 hard stuff because I feel like the 2 times I've drank, I've just felt like complete shit. And so
how about exercise? Like maybe the 2 things, but like, have you just continued certain things or you just?
Yes. Yeah. So most days I'm still doing 2 things because it just works out that way that I'll have 2 45-minute windows in a day, maybe not time to do like one long thing. So, or I'll just do one, you know, like if I lift weights one day and walk that day, then the next day it's not a weightlifting day. So I'll just do a long walk with the vest on. So and just reading and drinking the water. Yeah, I'm still kind of doing everything. Apparently there's like a 35-day hard challenge or something that incorporates, I think, everything from 75 hard, but also adds you have to take some length of a cold shower every day. Yes. And also,
as anyone who's had their hot water go out, it's a tough ask.
Yes.
And penis will go right
up. That's true. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's,
it's an extreme, like 30 seconds of being drenched in cold water is a very long time. And then I think there's also, you do a good deed. You do something good each of the 30 days. So I'm in talks with some 75 harders to embark on that at a future date. So we'll see.
I have a question or a request. Is there any chance when you talk with these people for them to not include me on correspondence about it? Like selfies and shit? Because the past month, yeah. I got like, you know, 30 different people's selfies. And
not well, you didn't get any.
Not get that.
You didn't get any from me. You didn't get any
Brian Beckerson. From you. Yeah. Proud of you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
But, like, there were a bunch of people that sent me selfies, and I don't care about selfies. Yeah,
well, I think you've put it out. I think you've shared that. So I think I don't think you have to worry about that anymore. Okay, here's a couple more voicemails.
Oh, Tony San, you gambled baseball.
What? Oh, Sato. Yeah.
You death before dishonor. You cut off your pinky, or you never put on Dodger Blue. Otani-san, you bring disgrace to Major League.
You know who I think that is?
Who is it?
Well, it might be, because I see it's the same number for this next message, so you might have the reveal, and I will just based on the unfunniness, you're not going to be surprised.
Oh, boy.
Oh, maybe not. Well... So this message is just not. There's just
is this a man of the Lord?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe.
Oh no!
It's a 310 prefix. I'm nearly positive that's. It's been a long time since Gardenia. He called. Yeah, I believe that is our dear friend Manuel in Gardenia doing his vaguely racist Japanese guy.
Sato, right?
Yeah, Sato from Karate Kid Part 2. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, Manuel.
That's great.
Yep. Okay, couple emails here. Hey, Ed and Brian. I'm watching golf, and that known piece of shit Italian, Tirico, is still being overly bland. Fuck that guy. My question is, with names like Wyndham, Harris, and Maverick, is golf the only profession these douches could have ever had? How about a weekly segment of fuck that guy?
Those first names?
Yeah. I don't know about Maverick. I mean, I remember one of my son's little league teams had a Maverick on it. Wyndham is definitely a guy. I don't know about Harris or
LeBron's
Maverick.
Guy, Maverick Carter.
Oh, that's right. But is that his given name? I always assumed that was a nickname.
Is that the one who's with Adele?
No, that's the other guy, Rich Paul. Yeah. Save some first names for the rest of us. Can you please cut out the part where Ed said we try not to talk about penises on this show on the current episode and immediately play Daily's Choice? Thanks. That's from Chris in Maryland. Thank you, Chris.
I challenge you to find one moment where I've ever talked about a penis on this show.
No, never. I can't recall it ever happening. I need your gentleman's wise counsel. I walk into my local Jason's Deli to get a bite to eat. There is only one other guy in there, and he's eating 3 pieces of cheesecake.
Yikes.
No toppings like strawberries, just raw dogging them plain. No other food, just cheesecake. It's also 4:45 p.m. That feels excessive.
It's a weird time.
I don't mind a piece of cheesecake.
But if I saw someone with 3 pieces of cheesecake at 11:45 p.m., this guy's shit face. Yeah. He's 4:45. It's a weird decision time.
Yeah, it's there's 2 things going on. It's you're at a deli, it's the afternoon, and you're going multiple slices. Like, how do you know?
Are I you could staying see, awake.
Yeah, I see you're like, oh, I had a slice of cheesecake. That was so fucking good. I might get another. You know, I'm gonna go for another. Like, you know right away you're gonna want all 3. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show. Ron Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's Choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even.
even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.